So looking in reverse, here's how it goes. And so in the end, Joseph forgave his brothers. They had conspired to kill him, but instead sold him as a slave. Joseph became a slave in Egypt. He gained respect, then was falsely maligned and thrown into prison, and again gained respect and helped all of Egypt survive this massive famine. He invited these brothers to come and live with him. He told them to bring their father and that they would all be able to thrive during the time of famine in Egypt. Joseph told them that all of their actions were part of God's plan to save them. Last week, I talked about that sandwich guy. His name? Very good. Now say it loud. What's his name? Talked about Reuben, the brother who convinced the others not to sell Joseph, but rather to throw him in a pit. Now, he was going to come and collect him out of a pit, and it didn't work out that way, but Reuben had good motives. He said, let's just throw him into a pit, and then he could come back and get him later, but he didn't tell his brothers that. But I lifted up Reuben for his actions, and I said this. I said, his cool head stopped his brothers from making a mistake that would cost them dearly. And by that, I meant to introduce the idea that by selling Joseph as a slave, the brothers saved themselves and their families from dying of starvation years later. And it seems that that's what Joseph says, too. It's very clear that's what Joseph says. Don't beat yourselves up about this. This is the way it was supposed to happen. So let me just throw this out there. Who's to say it had to happen that way? It did happen that way. Did Joseph need to be sold as a slave for the brothers to be saved years later? What if the brothers had never conspired? And what if they all got along and Joseph still dreamed about the famine? There's the whole part of the story where Joseph gets taken out of prison after he was in prison because he could interpret dreams, and he interpreted the dream about the 7 years of famine. But what if he still dreamed about the famine, but he hadn't been thrown into jail? What if Jacob had never given Joseph the long robe with sleeves or the coat of many colors? Today I wore my stole of many colors, see, with my long robe with sleeves. What if he'd never given him that coat, the coat that made the brothers exceedingly jealous? What if any of the parts of the story of the life of Joseph had been different? Would the brothers have survived? We don't know. No one knows. As much as I love to see stories of God's path in folks' lives and love to look back and see how God's path has led me to wherever I am on life's journey, I have no idea how different or how the same things may have turned out if parts of the story had been changed. It's not like the Back to the Future movie where they had to kiss at the fish under the sea. I think it was the enchantment under the sea dance, right? You remember the whole movie. Marty McFly kept disappearing from the photographs. Even kids have seen this movie, right? You haven't seen it? You've seen it. Back to the Future. So according to that reality, it had to happen that way. It's wise to study history. It really is. It's wise to learn from the mistakes that we've made throughout history so that we don't repeat them. My high school history teacher taught me that. It's one of the most valuable lessons I ever learned in all of high school. You know how there's certain things that stick out? Some don't. The quadratic formula, never used it since algebra class in high school. Never, ever, never, never, except to mention it during sermons or something like that. But this thing about looking back at your history so that you don't forget the mistakes, so that you don't repeat them, that was wise. That was excellent teaching. And the teacher actually used a game to get us to remember that. You can play this game at home. Mastermind. Who's played Mastermind? You can still buy it in various forms. There are four colored pegs, and one person has the four pegs there, and they have versions with six and five and everything. And you have to look, and you put down what your guess is, and then they tell you how many are right and if they're in the right position. Not exactly if they're, but you've got black pegs and white pegs, and white peg says that you've got the right color, but it's not in the right position, and black peg says it's the right color, it's in the correct position, and you keep looking back at your history as you're going. Keep looking, keep looking, keep looking. And then finally, you get to a point where you're not making any of the mistakes again in your history, and you've got the correct answer moving forward, right? And then you win the game. Now, life isn't exactly like that, but that whole part about looking back and studying your history so that you don't repeat the same mistakes works. Because if you keep repeating the same mistakes in Mastermind, you never get the right answer, and you go back and say, oh, well, I messed up there, finally, and you look, or you just throw the game out and you don't play it because you're too frustrated with it. So, but studying history is good. But I'm not one to look at history and say, it had to happen that way, otherwise it couldn't have happened, or something like that. Because when we look back at events and determine, if this hadn't happened, then of course that would not have happened, and then that could never have happened, and ultimately this wonderful thing could never have happened, we decide that there's only one way to get from point A to point B. And life is a journey. It's just this continual point A to point B to point C, you know, all the way through. And see, if there's only one way to get from point A to point B, then we also have to open ourselves up to the other side of the idea, which is, if only I hadn't done this, then this would not have happened, then this wouldn't have happened, and then this awful thing wouldn't have happened. And there's not only one way to get from point A to point B. You saw the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat play? Yeah, it's a fun play, isn't it? Great music, great costumes, great story. And it's a great story that Joseph goes through all of these things, and then finally he meets with his brothers. You know, what the brothers did mattered. I mean, it was a bad thing that they did. Our actions matter. Our decisions matter. They affect not only us, but people and things all around us. They affect things locally. They affect things globally. They really do. I mean, when we make a decision, it affects other things. But we're not the only ones. Ours is not the only church. This is not the only community. It's not the only state. We're not the only nation that acts and decides. And today's reading, as much as put in there from Joseph saying, don't beat yourself up, don't beat yourselves up over this because it had to happen that way, I don't think that this reading is about how all things have to work together and it has to go a certain way, otherwise it can't happen. It's not about how every decision we make is life-altering. It isn't even how God can work together to make all things good. And there's Bible verses about that. For God works all things together for good. But I think that this story, the whole story, tells something that's profoundly important, just like looking back at your history is profoundly important so that you don't repeat the same mistakes. But this one is profoundly important because it's about Joseph's forgiveness. It's about reconciliation of these brothers after an awful time. See, it makes me think that, well, reconciliation was necessary. And the reconciliation was necessary for the brothers to survive. So if we're going to look at events like that, if reconciliation wasn't necessary, then the brothers probably would have been all right because they would have worked together and figured out how to make it through the time of famine, whatever it was. So I think that the whole of this story, if we boil it down to one thing, is about reconciliation. The brothers hated Joseph. They had good reason to hate Joseph. He was arrogant. He was favored by his father. They had every reason to be mad. Joseph had a hard life. He was in jail. He was almost killed. He was sold as a slave. I mean, he had a really hard life. He had every reason to hate them right back. But instead, he reached out to them. He wept with them. He talked with them, and they were reconciled. That's what happened in this story. See, God isn't about putting secret codes in books so that only the ones with secret knowledge can figure out how things are going to go in our world from this point forward. or figuring out how the pattern led from this to this to this. God isn't about having us study the Bible, the history of our faith, so that we can see how everything that happened there had to happen that way. I think that we study the Bible for the same reason we study history. The history of our faith tells us we can look at the mistakes that have been made. And there are things in the Bible that weren't nice. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible that wasn't nice. And we're not supposed to look at those and go, let's do that. Let's sell our brother. No. The codes, the predictions, the verifications. You see TV shows about it all the time. You see books written about it. You know, History Channel is not full of, but it's got a whole bunch of Bible-type things about secret codes and all of the, you know, it's entertaining. It really is. I don't lend much credence to all of these predictions, and this is going to happen this way, and this has got to do that, and all of that. I don't lend credence to that. I don't think it's what the Bible is about. I don't think it's what God is about. It's entertaining. It really is fun to look at the codes or to, you know, all this. You know, Dan Brown, great fiction. And I know he doesn't purport to be a religious writer, but there's too many that write religious things and say, this is the code, this is the way it has to happen, and it has to happen this way, and this is the way it did happen. The Bible isn't about that. It's not one gigantic code. Matter of fact, it's not a code. It's about that meta-narrative, that overarching story of God creates, we mess up. God makes all things new, we mess up. God redeems, we mess up. But the codes and predictions, they're not what God is about. God is about love. And so we're supposed to be about love. God is about justice. And so we're supposed to be about justice. God is about forgiveness. And so we're supposed to be about forgiveness. God is about peace. So we're supposed to be about. God is about comforting those who mourn. So we're supposed to be about. God is about compassion. So we're supposed to be about. Compassion. God is about mercy. Yes, God makes the rain. God is about mercy. So we're supposed to be about mercy. God is about generosity. So we're supposed to be about generosity. God is about caring for the poor. So we're supposed to be about caring for the poor. God is about healing. So we're supposed to be about healing. God is about reconciliation. So, folks, what are we supposed to be about? Reconciliation. Amen.